This is the Joker, and you're listening to Mad Mystery Netcast Show. Mr. Castle is now on the air.
Welcome to another edition of the Mad Mystery Netcast Show. I am Mr. Castle, your Misfit of Toys host. This is episode number 7, Vintage Toys News Weekly. This netcast is brought to you by Elusive Lounge Designs. Attract more business with a professionally designed logo by one of our award-winning designers. Get started by going to elusivelounge.com. That's ILLUSIVELounge.com. Mention this netcast show to receive 20% off your order. Hello all you toy fans out there. Again, this is Mr. Castle, and we have some exciting news in the toy sphere. If you don't know who Figure Toy Company is, well, they're the ones that brought out the Kiss figures in 8 and 12 inch. The retro Kiss figures, they've been redone from the old Mego line, and they were a very quick seller, very good seller, and had very good success with the Kiss action figures that they brought out. Well, they are now reporting that Figure Toy Company is going to come out with a new action figure line. The first is going to be Batman, the 1966 classic. Now, we have two companies coming out. Mattel's coming out with theirs. But what I like about Figure Toy Company is they're going to do them just like the old Migos. They're going to also come out with the Dukes of Hazzard, Evel Knievel, Conan the Barbarian, Tarzan, Dallas TV series, and Gilligan's Island. Now, Fwoosh.com is reporting this, as also is Toy News International. These figures will have cloth clothing, 16 points of articulation, and accessories. Figure Toy Company also introduced a talking presidential Barack Obama 7-inch figure. Now let's get into this Batman's 1966 classic. Now, it is my understanding that the collector community would enjoy collecting retro 8-inch and 12-inch action figures based on the 66 classic TV series, says CFO Anthony Belasco. I agree. Now, when we saw the rights come up, they said that they had immediately had interest in acquiring the licenses, and which they are proud to say they have done. Now, the head sculpts will look lifelike. The cloth costumes will be highly detailed. Series 1 is going to include Batman and Robin, the Riddler and Joker. Future series will include the Penguin, Catwoman, Dick Grayson, Bruce Wayne, Egghead, King Tut, Mr. Freeze, Shame, Bookworm, Mad Hatter, Batman with removable cowl, Robin with removable mask, the Joker in prison baseball outfit, the Joker in opera outfit, the Joker in a gray suit. Now all these 1966 Batman figures will be available both in the 8-inch and 12-inch, and they're going to start coming out as early as fall of 2013. This is an exciting news for anybody that has collected Mego. If you collected the old Kiss Mego and collected the new retro Kiss, you're really going to want to collect these. Now, these are going to come out in the lifelike look of Cesar Romero and the cast and crew of that TV series, as like Burt Ward and Adam West. Now, I've seen already, they've already had a picture out of the Cesar Romero head that they're coming out. And it's going to have the painted mustache on it. They're really going to do the details on that. It looks really good. Looks great. If you are a collector, you've got to get these. Now, they're also coming out with the Dukes of Hazzard. Now, Meagle came out with the Dukes of Hazzard. They're highly collectible also. They're coming out with their retro action figure line, which will include, of course, Bo and Luke Duke, Roscoe and Boss Hogg. Future series will include the Daisy Duke, Uncle Jesse, Cooter, Cletus Hogg, Enos, and many more, available in the 8 and 12 inch. Evil Knievel, if you're an Evil Knievel fan and you collected him back in the day, well, you can collect him again. He is going to be coming out in an 8 inch and 12 inch version. And it's going to be from his first Caesar Palace jump from 1967. So that outfit is what he's going to be wearing. And the second one's going to come out in his Wembley Stadium jump in 1975. I will be picking those up also. Can't wait till they come out. Conan the Barbarian is going to come out with three figures. Conan himself, Solomon Kane, and Cole the Conqueror. Now, these are going to be only available in 8-inch figures. So those should be coming out soon also. Retro Tarzan and Jane action figures. Now, Tarzan is going to be an exact replica of the Meagle release. So he's going to look any different. But Jane is going to be a total Figure Toy Company exclusive and original. They're only going to come out in the 8-inch versions. Dallas TV series is going to come out with a 12-inch only version of, guess who? J.R. Ewing. And they're going to come in two different styles, the Oil Tycoon and Who Shot J.R. Gilligan's Island action figures will only include Gilligan himself and the Skipper. They're going to come out 2013 and they're only going to be available in 12-inch only. So these are exciting things that are coming up. If you don't know any history about the Figure Toy Company, it was started back in 1989 by Anthony Belasco, who sold collectible toys through print catalogs, print ads, and direct selling at collectible toy shows. In 1998, Anthony partnered with Steven Sandberg and obtained the licenses to manufacture replica wrestling belts. I remember those. Figure Toy Company now manufactures WWE, WCW, ECW replica wrestling belts, 8-inch retro type action figure, and continues to work on product directly aimed at the collectible consumer, like me. ActionFigurePicks.com has an interesting take on the Batman and Robin 1997 movie starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, George Clooney, and Chris O'Donnell. Now, it's saying that it nearly put DC Comics' Batman franchise into the ground for good. Now, the director, Joel Schumacher, had just been rolling off an extremely successful Batman Forever movie in 1995 with Val Kilmer, but somehow managed to put together what is arguably the worst Batman movie ever made. Now, if you go to IMDb, which is Internet Movie Database, it is rated 3.6 out of 10 by the users there, which probably is the lowest of all live-action films, even by Tim Burton and Schumacher, his 1995, Chris Nolan's three-trilogy Batman, and even the 66 campy TV series. What went wrong? Now, they report that Schumacher believes the reason were the toys. Go figure. Apparently, merchandising was one of the driving factors in making this movie so close on the heels of the 1995 movie, Batman movie Forever. And there was pressure by the studios, go figure that, and toy companies to make the film more toy-like, which it kind of did. Well, the fact that they even tried to shove much of the storyline and characters into this movie is something else, and I believe has a lot to do with it. Okay, here are the characters in this movie. There's Batman and Robin, Batgirl, Mr. Freeze, Poison Ivy, and Bane. And this is the worst Bane ever on a silver screen. I know there are two. You know, there's the Dark Knight Rises and there's the Batman and Robin. But compared to the Dark Knight Rises and the comic books, this Bane sucked. You know, it's just putting too much in one movie. And the acting was bad. And it was so bad that it hurt my eyes even to watch it. Now I know why it was rated at Internet Movie Database a 3.6 out of 10. Over at SuperheroHype.com, there's an article called Superhero Movies That Almost Happen, and I will go through the best of them with you. Long before he brought the Avengers to life and created, in my opinion, the most successful superhero movie of all time, Josh Whedon, Buffy the Vampire Slayer creator, was given the task to create the silver screen version of DC's character Wonder Woman. The guy that made Buffy for several seasons would take the most powerful female hero in comics, bring her to life for all of us to marvel at. It was a dream come true, and sadly, it was too good to be true. Whedon signed on to write and direct the project, but Warner Brothers stopped it in its tracks because they felt the character was not what they had envisioned for the big screen. RookieMag.com interviewed Whedon, and I quote, "She was a little bit like Angelina Jolie. She sort of traveled the world, she was very powerful and very naive about people, and the fact that she was a goddess was how I eventually found her humanity and vulnerability. Because she would look at us and the way that we kill each other and the way we let people starve, the way where the world is run, and she'd just be like, none of this makes sense to me. I can't cope with it. I can't understand why people are insane." Ultimately, her romance with Steve was about him getting her to see what it's like not to be a goddess, what it was like to be weak when you do have all these forces controlling you and there's nothing you can do about it. That was sort of the central concept of the thing. Him teaching her humanity and her saying, okay, great, but we can still do better. When learning the studio had dumped his project, he was quoted, "We just saw different movies. It happens all the time. I don't think any of us expected it, but I did. Everybody knows how long I was taking, what a struggle the script was, and though I felt good about what was coming up with, it was never going to be a slam dunk. I like to think it rolled around the rim a bit, but others may have different views." He even teased that Kobe Smulders was his choice for Wonder Woman, whom she would later play Maria Hill in The Avengers. David Goyer was offered to create the Flash movie. This was less than 2 weeks after the movie Blade Trinity had flopped. Now, I actually like that movie. Warner Brothers offered it to him because of his help on Christopher Nolan's Batman Begins. In only a few short days after Blade Trinity was released at the movies, he was given the task of adapting the hero Flash for the big screen. Goyer was quoted, "Flash is one of my favorite properties to create a script about a character who moves faster than the speed of light. It opens itself up to rich cinematic and story ideas." Goyer initially said that Flash would be a fan favorite Wally West in the film, but that was soon changed to Barry Allen, with Wally West taking a minor role. Regardless of who the focus the film was, Goyer wanted Ryan Reynolds for the part. It has been said that the film was going to be quite dark and was said to take influence from the comics of Mike Barron, Mark Waid, and Geoff Johns. In 2007, Kieran and Michelle Mulrooney were hired to write a script for a Justice League film by Warner Brothers, which was to be directed by George Miller of Mad Max fame. The film was put on hold for a bit because of the writer's strike in 2008. Warner Brothers was not to be denied, and when the strike was settled, they announced that the movie would be in a motion capture technology movie like that of The Polar Express. The film was cast with Adam Brody as The Flash, Megan Gale as Wonder Woman, Common the Rapper as Green Lantern's Jon Stewart, Armie Hammer as Batman, DJ Contra as Superman, and many others. Weta Workshop in New Zealand was putting together the film and was forced to focus solely on the Justice League. Jay Bruchel, who was to play the film's villain Maxwell Lord, was quoted as saying, "I'll just say this. If we had been able to make the movie that we had gone down to Australia to rehearse, if you had seen the production art I'd seen, it would have been the coolest thing ever. It would have been the neatest vision of Batman, the coolest vision of Superman you've ever seen. It would have been dark and fairly brutal and quite gory and just epic. He claims the film would have won us all over. Miller planned to film it in Australia, but producers couldn't secure a tax credit for the movie. George Miller's version of the Justice League is now dead, as with any other adaptation in the works. There are now rumors of a 2015 release, but who knows? And speaking of the Justice League, have you seen the new game, Injustice, God Among Us? If you haven't, you have to check out the trailers on YouTube. The storyline goes something like this. What if our greatest heroes became our greatest threat? Injustice, Gods Among Us introduces a bold new franchise to the fighting game genre from NetherRealm Studios, creators of the definitive fighting game, Mortal Kombat. So they're using the Mortal Kombat engine. Featuring DC comic icons such as Batman, Cyborg, The Flash, Harley Quinn, Nightwing, Solomon Grundy, Superman, and Wonder Woman. The latest title from the award-winning studio presents a deep original story. Heroes and villains will engage in epic battles on a massive scale in a world where the lines between good and evil have been blurred. Experience epic battles on a massive scale as players control the most powerful beings in the universe in destructible, interactive environments. Destroy elements of the world and use superpowers to turn vehicles, buildings, and more into powerful weapons. Unleash each character's unique superpowers with individual move sets and environmental interactions. Fight through multi-tiered fighting arenas by hurling opponents through buildings and launching them off cliffs. You have to go see the trailers and buy the game. It is amazing. Oh, and one last thing. On April 18th, 2013, it was 75 years ago that Action Comics number 1 first hit newsstands, making Superman 75 years old. Happy birthday, Superman, from yours truly, Mr. Castle. And that's going to do it for the Mad Mystery Netcast Show. I want to thank Mr. Sloan for his encouragements, attacks, and his inquisitive mind. Remember, it's only worth something when somebody else wants to buy it. I am Mr. Castle, and now I regress into the dark shadows of the mansion. Good day, good night, and goodbye.
Been listening to Mr. Castle and the Mad Mystery Netcast Show. Be sure to check out our website at madmysterycompany.com. There you can read our blog and listen to previous podcasts located in the archive section. This netcast has been brought to you by MMC Productions. Join us next time for another edition of the Mad Mystery Netcast Show. Mr. Castle is now off the air.